SBS தமிழ்.
Greetings, Mr. Arumugam Parasuraman.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjayan.
We have spoken some years in the past, but this is the first time we are meeting in person.
That's true, and I'm very happy to meet you personally.
Thank you. I would like you to begin with your background as to your childhood and how you got into politics in Mauritius.
I must say that's a wonderful journey, and I'll start really from the top and then go back to the roots. My career ended in the international level. I was director of UNESCO for 12 years. Prior to that, I served at the World Bank for 2 years in Washington, D.C. Prior to that, I was Member of Parliament for 14 consecutive years and Minister of Education, Arts and Culture, and later on Education and Science for 13 years. So that's my professional background. And prior to that, I was a teacher for many years. And I got into politics from the grassroots. I started in 1978 at the village council level. I won my first election there. I was the leader of the team. And then I moved on to district council chairman. That was the next year. 2 years later, I joined national politics and won Member of Parliament seat for the first time in 82. And that followed with the consecutive general election, which I had to face. And I must say, I've served as Minister of Education for 13 years. I would also like to say that I survived for 13 years. It's a very challenging ministry, as you know. But all along, I must say, I've been able to do that. There's a factor there which is the main thread of what I've done in my journey. It's taking it as a sense of mission. And you will understand it better when I tell you where I started. I was born in a thatch roof house. My mother was illiterate. My father's 3 years primary in a family of 11 children. So that's the background. How do you make that journey is a wonderful story. It's a big challenge, as you know, a lot of struggle, but I've made it. The common thread, as I said, which has been there, has been, first of all, what my parents taught me right from childhood.
How big was your family?
We were 11 children, 7 brothers and 4 sisters. Quite a big family, you know. And in those conditions, were not easy.
Did you grow up as a Tamil or as a Mauritian?
I would say it's a composite. In Mauritius, first of all, we are Mauritian, but our roots is from the Tamil culture, from India. I reconcile the two. For me, considering myself as a Tamil doesn't affect my citizenship of Mauritius. As a Tamil, on our teachings, if I take Tirukural, for example, with that book of values, that universal scripture, you are a world citizen. For me, therefore, there was no problem by being proud of my roots, but at the same time being proud as a Mauritian.
We have a radio technician from Mauritius, and when I mentioned that I'm going to interview you today, he immediately said that he remembered your name, and he said in the 80s, Labour was in power and they had become corrupt, and these youngsters almost got all the seats in the parliament, and economy boomed after they got into power, and he gave a lot of credit to the youngsters, including you, and he said that the country became prosperous after the youngsters took over. As a youngster, what got you interested in politics and what was your journey like?
As I said, it all started with my background, my childhood. That marked me because it was a very tough journey, you know, to move from that to where I reached. So, and that has taught me a lot of lessons. I must tell you, that has given me the philosophy of life that I developed and followed. That has inculcated in me a very strong conviction that I have to do something to help others. And this was the drive in all my political life. And my political life was mostly a social mission. It was a mission for service to humanity. All along, I've maintained that as a village councillor, district councillor, and as member of parliament and minister. I have total faith in that. It was a combination of spirituality, respect for my parents. My mother was my Shakti. Though she's not been to school, she was the force behind me. And Tirukural bring the whole picture to very clearly that this is the way forward. So I was therefore passionate about that.
You talk passionately about your Tamil culture and Tirukural and so on. But when you are in politics, in a country like Mauritius, where there's multiple ethnicities, people of different backgrounds, different religions, ethnicities, how do you bring harmony amongst all these different groups, yet talk about your identity and your pride in the long history of the Tamil culture?
I have a beautiful way of looking at Mauritius. Although I am Tamil speaking, in the Mauritius setup, they will consider me as Tamil speaking for electoral purposes. But in my constituency, there was only 10% of Tamil speaking and 90% non-Tamil speaking, and I did not lose one single election. I had a communion with the population in my constituency, and they supported me all along. I myself voluntarily retired from politics at the age of 44. Although I have these roots, which I'm proud of, but at the same time, my focus was based on Tirukkural, that it's a world of unity in diversity. It's a world where we have to respect the diversity. And my image of Mauritius, you know, when you interviewed me as Minister of Culture, you mentioned, I was Minister of Culture, and so I was the chairman of the National Day celebration for 8 years. And very often I was using the theme Rainbow Nation. Now, what's my image of the rainbow? And you will understand how I reconcile being Tamil and Mauritian. If you want to have an authentic rainbow, you have to ensure that you nurture each color. If you don't nurture one color and the color fades, then you don't have an authentic rainbow. And on the other condition is that no color can get out of it. If one color tries to get out of the rainbow, then you don't have an authentic rainbow. So to have the perfect rainbow, you need, therefore, to be side by side. You need to ensure that each color is nurtured properly. And this makes the beauty of it, what we call the unity in diversity. And therefore, I find no conflict, no difficulty to reconcile the two, so long as we have this frame of mind and we look at each one as being equal. That's the philosophy, I think, which should be guiding all of us.
You left politics not because you were voted out or the party didn't want you as a candidate. On your own, you retired from politics. As we discussed, you had a colorful international life with UNESCO and so on. Even after retiring from that, you haven't stayed quiet. You are involved in multiple projects. I would like to talk about them. So let's start with one. What did you do the day after you retired?
You know, when I retired in 2011, I returned back to Mauritius. I gave myself 1 year to reflect what to do. And you know, with my own spiritual background, very universal, the spiritual, it's not related to one religion, it's universal, you know. There was a call for me to get back to politics. When I look at politics as it was in 2011, I was not at all interested. In 1978, it was with a sense of mission. I wanted to join to serve, to make a difference. And then when I went global, I'd been able to accomplish that. So when I look around, I said, no, I think there's something else to be done. And I let myself be guided by my intuition, by my inner voice, I call it. There came a very compelling message. You need to have a deep sense of gratitude. Gratitude first to my mother, my father, to the constituency, the country, but also to God. Because you couldn't do that journey without having a blessed life. And I chose one channel to give back. My first initiative on giving back was to set up the Global Rainbow Foundation, the instrument, the channel for me to reach to the most vulnerable in society. I came to the conclusion that the most vulnerable group in any society are persons with disability. If you don't give them the right, if you don't fight for their dignity, if you don't give them the equal means for them to succeed in life, they will be excluded. And I set up the foundation in 2011, and it has been a vehicle for me to touch the lives of almost 3,000 persons with disability. And to tell you, Sanchayan, I've gone very far in that. At each general election, people come to me and say, will you be a candidate? I've told them I have a mission which is all set for me. And I've made a pledge that all the years from my retirement up to the end, it will be dedicated to serving the most vulnerable. I want to touch as many lives as possible.
Is the foundation based in Mauritius only, or is that a global one?
It's a global one. I'm expanding now. After well establishing ourselves for 7 years in Mauritius, now I've started on a global, and I have set up a similar foundation in India, where I'm going to be active there, in Africa, and I'm now moving to the global mission of the foundation.
This is SBS Tamil, the only Tamil radio station to broadcast throughout Australia. Our guest today is the former Minister of Education, Art, Culture and Sciences in Mauritius, Mr. Arumugam Parasuraman. And you're also working with the senior citizens.
Yes. That's the other part. I have three pillars of my service to humanity. One is the disabled, which is the first love that I have, my first child born in 2011. And this occupies most of my time, because this is where they need more support. But I have a wonderful team also serving my mission. That's what helped me a lot with the disabled. The second one is for elders. My father, when I was a child, used to tell me, if you walk in the village, you find an elder person there, say greetings to them, and they will give you blessing. And this will make your life, you know, successful. So I've learned that. And I must say, I've always had great respect for elders. And when I look at the situation of elders, I also have joined that club when I retired. Age 60, you are a member of the senior citizen, you know. I found them isolated. I found them, with modern development in society, being cut off, being neglected. Some are being victimized also. So I felt there was a need to do something for them, because they've done so much for us. They work in more difficult conditions. Many of my great-grandparents, my grandfather also, they came as indentured labor. Others came as slaves in Mauritius. So we need to respect them when they reach that age. And I was inspired by the concept of University of Third Age, whereby our seniors could have lifelong learning opportunities. So I've set up the university. We have almost 1,000 students actively following courses there, different courses that would give them, empower them. And that has been a matter of great satisfaction also. And the third pillar, I felt that we have a treasure which we have not probably done enough to share. So I felt that I need to do something by taking the Tirukkural to the world, but at the same time, taking it in Mauritius to every family. And I use, when I talk about Tirukkural now in the community, I told them, when your child is born, you do vaccination to protect the child against their health. When the child grows up, being an adolescent and a young person, when you leave that child alone, if that child has no proper protection, then you lose your child. It will go off track in drugs, in misbehavior, and will spoil your name. So therefore, what you have to do, you have to take Tirukkural and vaccinate them with one kural every day. If you do that, then when your child grows, he'll be a great man, a man to be respected, a great world citizen.
And Tirukkural is what brought you to Australia this time?
Absolutely. This is the main reason for me to come. I must say I have a great respect for Dr. Chandrika Subramaniam, who's been participating with us right from the beginning in Mauritius National International Conference, Kural, and I did encourage her to organize one here. She did it beautifully, and it was a successful conference we had in Sydney on the 31st of July. And I must say, apart from the participation, the contribution of Dr. Chandrika, I would single out two other persons, the Vice Chancellor of Sydney University and also the State Member for Prospect, Hugh McDermott. The two of them, not being of Tamil origin, made such a profound speech on the theme of Tirukkural and Tiruvalluvar that it was very, very inspiring, very encouraging also. And the commitment that Honorable Hugh McDermott took to install a Valluvar bust at the New South Wales University to promote a chair for Tamil language, Tamil studies, and also to push for Tamil language, bringing unity in the country to diversity, was tremendous.
You had been a teacher, you had been a successful politician, you had an international career, and now you're running three global initiatives. And I wonder, in your journey, how many people you have mentored and how many have taken up politics in Mauritius?
That is something which I like to do, I must say. A number of young people had come to me. Overall itself, not only in politics, but in general, I voluntarily accompanied quite a number of young people, not only from Mauritius. When I was at UNESCO, a number of national young people, students, who came to me to do internship, and I had provided them the guidance, the mentorship also. And I must say, a few of them have joined international organizations following this point of entry. So I do it everywhere. Wherever I was working, I always try to get young people. And even now, many of them come to me for guidance and for the career and for training also. I present myself as an example because I joined politics to serve the country, not to serve myself. If every young people say, I won't go into politics, we'll have all the oldies there and with the old habits, with whatever is happening, then you will never change the world.
Mr. Parasuraman, you talk about politics being noble, but if you look at the trend, in most of the countries, the extreme far right is gaining popularity and people are marginalized based on their views on religious matters or environmental concerns and so on. A lot of politicians are taking a divisive approach. How can a common man in this environment contribute to your idea of global harmony?
I must be very honest. It's a huge task to address, you know. It's not easy. It's very complex. It's like what Gandhi did. Even Gandhi suffered. Somebody assassinated him. So I'm not pretending that we have the easy solution to that. But I believe very sincerely that this is the way forward. I believe there needs to be a world consciousness regarding peace in the world. And that's why Tirukkural, we are pushing it to that level and aligning it with UNESCO, which also has the same noble vision of world peace. I believe that is the way forward. And it's not impossible to do it. But we have to start with the young generation. This is when our schools, we have to bring those values of universality, those values of brotherhood, of humanity. Imagine if every individual take a resolution that I want to be the change I want to see in the world. I'll change myself first. I'll contribute to that. By doing that selflessly, you are creating a momentum which is formidable.
I totally agree that it's going to be a long and hard journey, but you already had a long career in politics and international affairs, and currently you are running 3 global initiatives. And none of this could have happened without the complete support of your family.
Absolutely.
What are you willing to share with us about your family?
I was very lucky to have my wife, Sheila, who, when we got to know each other and got married, she has been a constant source of support to me. She could understand me. I know I was not giving enough attention to the family. Even when the children were born, she was looking after them. I joined politics a year after I was married. So you see the life of the political, and I was starting in politics. We created our own party. What I'm trying to say that how much time it takes of you. But she has been the strength in the family to look after the children and also to be behind me all along. Then I don't forget my mother. She passed away in the year 2000. But from my childhood till she was alive, she was the constant pillar. The family has been a great source of support. But I must confess that I've failed in the sense that I don't give enough time to my grandchildren. I don't give enough time to the family. Because with the dimension of the mission now, it's a world mission. See, I'm traveling a lot now. And this sort of mission, I believe I've been called to do it. And the family have understood that, which is another sacrifice they are making. They've understood that.
You talked about global travel, and this is not the first time you had come to Australia, I know. What was your initial impression of Australia, and what's your impression now?
You know, when I first came, I came on a mission. I was Minister of Education. I came to explore collaboration with Australia in various fields, especially in the education field. And that was a long time back. But when I came back this time, what particularly attracted me is to see the attention paid to multiculturalism. I hope the immigrants who have come here would realize that there again, there's Tirukkural, which tells you that every country is your country. Every town is your town. You know, which means that once you're settled in a place which welcome you, it's your land. It's your motherland. You know, you may have a historical motherland by origin, but when you are here, and many of you have come from a very difficult and from tragic situation from your country where you were not being given your rights to live peacefully. I respect those countries which have taken in a number of immigrants, especially those in the circumstances we mentioned. So I believe that the policy, what I've been able to observe and understand, there's a strong policy of promoting multiculturalism. Even your radio here, you know, you have 74 languages stationed. Where do you find that in the world? And supported by government? This is the ingredient. This is the way to move forward, to build peace and unity in diversity. So I believe there's need to have that spirit. We are here, we are established here now, and this is our motherland. We have to contribute to it. I'm sure all the politicians, I met a few of them here, all the politicians who can see that this immigrant group has come and they are contributing to national solidarity, to the development of the country, they will welcome you. And they will go make a step beyond to give you more things that you need to preserve your own identity, your own culture.
With those words of wisdom, Mr. Parasraman, thank you very much for coming to the studios and giving us detailed answers for all our questions. And on behalf of SBS Radio, we wish you all the best in all your endeavors.
Thank you. I would like to thank you very much, Sanchayan, and again, thank SBS Radio. I must pay tribute to them and to the government of Australia for having taken the initiative of setting up this radio to serve 74 different linguistic groups in the country through this medium, which is a very powerful medium of the radio. So I can only wish that all these good vibrations that you can pull together, it's more than a rainbow because you have 74. Rainbow has 7 colors, you know. But I believe all these forces could converge together to make a unified Australia, to make a prosperous Australia, which can then share these benefits, these economic progress, to make a still better and more caring society. Thank you.
இதை போன்ற இன்னும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை செவிமடுக்க sbs.com.au/tamil